We are going to have a wonderful time tonight. Did you guys know that, you know, there's a really neat surprise, and somebody said, well, what's the surprise? What's the surprise? And I said, is there a surprise? I don't remember. So you know what? We will find out as the night progresses. What I would like to do, a quick note of personal privilege before I hand the microphone over to our banquet MC. I would like to basically say that I am very, very happy that this will be the last convention that Mitch, my other half, better half, worse half, whatever you want to call him, or half, just half what? I don't know. My half will be here next to me. This is the last time he'll be here next to me as ACB president. Oh, this is the last time. Oh, and I'm very pleased about that. We've definitely, I'm very happy at what he's done as ACB president. I'm very pleased at the support that he has given to me, but I'm so happy I'm going to get my husband back. Yes. And so, without further delay, I am going to hand the microphone over to our master of smonies, master of fun, master of adventure, because who knows where he's going to take us tonight, Mr. Frank Welty.
Good evening, everyone. Great to be here tonight. But I want you to know that this is a serious sacrifice for me to be up here today, and I'll tell you why, because I have to wait to eat. And I don't take that lightly. I want you to know that. Well, thank you all for being here this weekend. We've done a lot of good hard work, made some really tough choices, had to do some facing of basic issues about this organization and how we move forward. And by the way, let me know if any of you don't hear me, because I know from being out there in the room these many times that I hate it when you can't hear the MC. Sometimes I hate it when I do hear the MC, but that's another story. So let's begin by telling you who is sequestered up here at the front table.
That's a dirty word.
Conscripted.
Conscripted, I'm hearing. To my right is my better half, Vita Zavoli. Yay. And Vita's better half, Violet. And then I'm here with Jeep, the Wonder Dog.
See, a Grand Cherokee or a Commander?
Absolutely a Commander. And then to my left is Linda Perel. And to Linda's left is ACB President Mitch Pomerantz. CCB President Donna Pomerantz. Had to build up that suspense there for a moment. And then ACB Capital President Paul Patchy Jr. And because we need to keep Paul in line, we have Mom Joni Patch, Patchy here. Yes, and then we have, from Southern California, we have Kevin Berkery and our invocator tonight, Artis Basin, invocatrix, I'm saying. And Artis has generously made herself available to open on a proper note with our invocation. So Artis, the time is yours. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. Let's close our eyes and say a prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you that we could gather here at this convention to have lots of fellowship, fun, and also a lot of good business. Be with each of us as we eat this wonderful meal and help it be satisfying and help it nourish our bodies. And help us to finish the weekend on a positive note and be able to complete our business successfully. In thy name we pray, amen.
Thank you, artists. And that's a valuable perspective. Well, as I said, our theme this weekend has been Back to Basics. And so tonight, we're going to be asking and finding answers to some very basic and profound questions. Most of all, we're going to find out why the chicken crossed the road. And we want to know that there have been serious research done on this, and we have culled answers from some of the great people throughout history to answer that important question. But there are other questions that are out there, like, for example, where do rangers go to get away from it all? Where do rangers go, forest rangers, where do they go to get away from it all? And if somebody with a split personality is threatening to kill themselves, is that suicide or attempted murder? And just one more here before we get into our meal here is there another word for synonym? Don't worry, they get better. And while I think of some, let's take a break and have our breakfast and we'll breakfast. How you thought you were going to sleep tonight, didn't you? We'll have our dinner first, and then we will continue with the rest of our program.
Well, Ken, it sounds like we're going to have an interesting banquet. I would hope. And so,
well, I think it's going to be very interesting. And I know that we've heard rumors, of course, about some kind of an event that's going to take place tonight that will be fun and that is supposed to be a first for CCB, the way I read it. But our president will not give in one inch to give us a hint.
I wonder what the surprise is. Well, I guess we'll find out eventually.
Maybe we're fired from the stream team.
So they're finally going to pull my contract, huh? Well, shoot.
Or maybe our pay will double. Maybe we're fired.
Yeah, we'll get double duty.
Well,
you never know.
We shall find out sometime pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, the thing we have is a couple of hours.
At least we're here for a good couple hours before they give us the boot. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you. We have a couple of hours. Well, I guess we're going to get to eat, too.
We might get to eat.
Yeah, she's bringing salad right now.
Yes. So what we can
I'm going to turn the mic off.
You're going to eat? Well, I guess...
I am.
Well, Ken, you're not supposed to eat when you're on the air. Remember, you're blind, not starving.
Well, I promise you I won't put my mouth to the plate.
Well, that's nice that you're polite about that. I guess what we'll do is...
Oh, okay. I'll watch it.
What we will do here then is we'll have some music for the listeners' listening pleasure. And we'll see how things go. And I will be enjoying my salad, and we'll be back shortly. So enjoy the music. I
Now that was funny. I wanted to let everyone know, if you have sweepstakes tickets, please raise your hand, because I believe we have some volunteers in here. If you need to turn in sweepstakes tickets, because Ed needs to get the count and all that good stuff. So if you have sweepstakes tickets that you have not turned in, Ed said, please get them in the beginning. So I've been turned in. So if you have sweepstakes tickets, raise your hand and we will have someone come by and pick them up so that Ed can get them in the count. Oh, good. You can hear me all the way in the back. That's great. So Sarah just came up and told me if someone is feeling just a little tiny bit chilly and they might be missing something that's nice and lightweight and black, a nice sweater. Someone did lose it during the attitude adjustment hour. So, stop it. Who let you in here anyway? So if someone is missing a sweater, raise your hand so that Sarah could, although they might not, yay, you found the owner. See, I was just going to start to do, I was going to do a door prize and raffle it off or something. And, you know, someone else lost a T-shirt yesterday, too, but we found the owner of that one, so I don't know. This group's a wild bunch. No, who let you in here? We need to put him out. Frank, what do you think? Should we do a door prize? Woo! We need to put him out. All right. So what kind of a door do you want? Do you want a glass door, wooden door?
A glass door, both.
a Habitrail door? Oh, a Labrador. Yeah,
a matador.
Mitch says, "Wow." So, why don't we? Oh, well, we won't do. No. Why don't we do a cash prize, $25? What are you thinking, Frank? Should we put some food with it?
Absolutely.
Ah, Frank wants food. How about a half a pound of See's candy with $25? Oh! Actually, Ed just told me it's a full pound. Ed says, we don't do no half pounds here. All right. Why don't we have our MC draw that? Ooh, Frank. Pound of See's candy, $25. Who's the lucky winner? Sunil Gupta, are you in the room? All of you know Liz, so when you see her, you need to tell her you missed out on $25 and a pound of See's candy. Marie Herrera! Oh,
it's sorry, Louie, no tequila!
Mitch said, sorry, Louie, no tequila. Frank, do you want to do another one? Frank wants to do another one. Oh, he's saying yes. So, Frank, what do you want to do? Do you want to do an insulated lunch bag with $25 in it? Oh, more money. Or as they say, more money, more money, more money. All right. And that is from the ACB Capital Chapter. And an insulated lunch bag.
And a politician.
No politician. Okay, why don't we have Artist Bazin draw this one? And Jim said, pick me, pick me. All right, artist is drawing. Art Gonzalez, are you here? No. All right. Next. Who might it be?
Art Gonzalez, are you here?
Lynette Kersey? Oh! $25 and an insulated lunch bag. All right.
Lynette Kersey? Oh! $25 and an insulated lunch bag.
So, Frank, you want to do something else?
All right. One more.
Frank says one more. And can we turn Frank's mic on too? Poor thing.
So, Frank, you want to do something else?
It's on.
It's hot now.
Frank says one more.
Oh. Frank, what are we doing? Are we doing fudge? Are we doing Harry and David snack boxes? Are we doing a mystery tin? What are we doing?
Let's do a snack box.
Snack box.
What? No cash?
Uh-oh. Did you hear Frank? He says, what? No cash?
Well, we have cash. Okay.
Do you want cash, Frank?
No. We'll save it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, I don't know. Did Frank say no?
No.
He said, no cash. All right. Who's drawing next? Frank, who do you want to draw?
Linda.
Linda. Linda. Harry and David. Or Harry David? I don't know.
Mary Gonzalez.
Mary Gonzalez, are you here?
He's with Art.
Mary's with Art. They're probably having a nice dinner somewhere.
Yeah.
Daryl Skivers. Yay!
While we have a momentary lull here, I want to share with you some of the research to my important question from earlier. This piece of information came from the most recent presidential campaign, where Barack Obama, when asked the question, why did the chicken cross the road, said, I want you to know that I am fighting for the chicken. Every day, right now, I am fighting for the right of the chicken to cross the road. And that chicken, those chickens will not be disappointed. Now, a little later, there was a recording smuggled out of a fundraising event in Florida. And Mitt Romney was heard to say, we don't need to get the chickens across the road. Give the road to the chickens and let them decide. The government needs to stop stifling the chickens so they can cross the road.
That wasn't a 47% chicken.
And then, of course, this caused a lot of commentary in the news, and so Rush Limbaugh had to weigh in. And Rush said, chickens are big-time frauds because they have wings. They can cross the road by themselves. They don't need help to cross the road. They don't need to cross the road anyway. In fact, I'm not even interested in crossing the road.
I can think of...
Oh,
yes.
Say that online.
No, I won't do that. No, I won't do that. Oh, Calhoun. Oh, Eric Bridges. They're both Republicans. They're both Republicans. Oh, yeah. She's a tolerable one.
Actually, only 47% of the chickens
have crossed the road. 47% of the chickens crossed the road to get the government handout.
But 1% of the chickens own the road.
Uh-oh, is there another version of that, Joe?
You know, Frank said, but 1% of the chickens own the road.
Oh, I love it.
Did you ever wonder what they would call a fly if it didn't have wings? Would it be a walk?
I have a joke from Paul Patchy.
Uh-oh.
Paul Patchy Jr. What do you call... Okay, I'm going to mess it up. What do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
Ground beef. Oh. And Kevin Burkery said this table is weak, but I don't see him doing any better.
Ed Branch, you know, he receives the mail in our CCB office. And so recently he got a letter from home that he'd like to share with us.
Mike, guys, thanks. We have three phone lines in the office, and you guys are calling all the time for one piece of business or the other, but it never fails. You always share some little bit about what's going on at home with your folks and your family. And about the time I'm ready to tell you about my family, the other phone line rings. So, luck would have it, I got this letter from home just before the convention started, and Donna and Frank granted me the opportunity to share it with you. I'll try not to choke up or cry. Mom writes, sorry it's taken so long to write you, son. I'm writing this letter really slowly because I know you're not a fast reader.
Mom writes, sorry it's taken so long.
You come back to Indiana, you won't recognize the old house. We moved. Got some bad news about your Uncle John that works at the distillery. Seems he slipped and fell into a vat of whiskey and drowned, but not before he successfully fought off six co-workers that tried to save him. We had it cremated. They tell us it took 2 days for the fire to go out. But on a happy note, your father has a wonderful new job with 500 people under him. He's mowing lawns at the cemetery. And the other day, your sister had a new baby that she hasn't shared with me yet, whether it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know if you're an aunt or an uncle. And finally, I'm in perfect health. Your father took me to the doctor for a checkup the other day. The doctor put this tube in my mouth and told me I couldn't talk for 10 minutes, and for some reason your father offered to buy it from him.
And finally, I'm in perfect
shape. That's all for now. Love, Mom.
Oh, that's funny.
We're regressing. the Home Depot, save up to $1,000 on appliance purchases of $397 or more. Get the best new features from top brands like Maytag.
My parents
How are the jokes so far? It seems like we had some interesting humor, but unique. Look at this. Perfect song for the jokes are saying, out of this world.
Let me get set up here. There we go.
Okay, there's Ken now. I thought I was talking to myself, but Ken has a microphone.
Let's see, am I coming through on...
Yes, sir, you're coming through. I hear you.
I mean, I don't pick it up on my headset.
Oh. You're hearing it, it's turned off, that's why.
Yeah.
No, but you're coming in clear.
Well, there's so far, Louie, we've had the only surprises that we've seen to this point have been some terrible jokes.
Well, I wouldn't say terrible.
Okay.
How about unique?
They're on Nickelodeon.
Okay.
Nick at Night.
Nickelodeon with adult humor. How's that?
Yeah. But Frank always does such a great job.
That's the thing about Frank. He does a good job with a smile.
Yes. So. And there's nothing wrong with those kinds of jokes. They're still funny. I don't care how many times you hear them or similar type things. They're great, and it makes everyone anticipate what's going to be happening later.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you hear jokes and you just say,
that's a tough thing to do to be an MC.
It's a tough thing, and sometimes
you've done it.
I've done it. I've also been part of a series of humorous events. I was at a golf tournament with a bunch of young men and women from the current wars last weekend, and I was sitting at the table with a good friend of mine who has lost his leg, and a gentleman who's a golfing instructor that only has one leg. Only one hand. Mm-hmm. So we were joking that we had the perfect golf cart when we were out there on the range. A blind guy, a one-legged person, and a one-handed person. So I was blank, one was stumpy, the other was handy. So, you know, we were just going back and forth, and some lady comes up to me and says, because I didn't have my cane open, "How dare you make fun of these injured soldiers?" And I said, "They make fun of me." She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, nothing, just that my eyes don't work." She said, "Are you really blind?" I said, "No, I just like to feel for attention." And boy, was that enough to set her off. But she doesn't forget that we do things, or the crowd that I deal with, we don't handicap ourselves. We just figure, okay, this is the way of life now, and we just go on. And these young men and women are upbeat. They like being treated like regular human beings. And there's no reason why we should, you know, treat them any different. Yes, we have inconveniences, but like they say, you can't just sit around and do anything. Just move on. So,
yeah.
But it was fun. And within the blind section, we have blind jokes and we laugh at it. Are we supposed to be offended because we're blind?
No. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that are very hesitant with humor and or don't know how to use it. And some people, of course, as you and I both know, get very sensitive with certain types of humor. And today it's called politically correct. I don't remember hearing any of those terms when we were kids, but...
No, that's very true.
And I don't think we're any the worse for it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, no, well, in my situation, I've always had this thing about, okay, just do what needs to be done and move forward. Nothing's going to happen with that. So how was your salad?
Well, I thought it was actually very delicious. It had slices of strawberry, had a couple of walnuts and some...
I thought it was orange.
Well,
sure it was strawberry?
Yeah.
Now I'm doubting my taste buds. See? Terrible.
Maybe they gave me a better salad.
I feel discriminated. I feel discriminated. I'm going to complain.
I must look younger.
Either that or they felt sorry for you.
Or they felt sorry for me.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Ken. You know what it was, Ken?
I'm emaciated.
You got the leftovers.
I'm emaciated. At 245 pounds, I'm emaciated.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, it's... so far, the meal's good. The atmosphere's good. People are enjoying themselves. And
Did I what? I didn't hear that.
No, I just said that so far it seems like everybody's enjoying themselves.
They are, of course,
you know, we're still waiting for the main course. And once that comes, of course, we'll be playing music while we enjoy our meal. And have the live, the house mic on so that in case Donna decides to say something which she least expected, it will go on the air. So we'll have fun with that.
Yeah, they're enjoying. I can tell you a little bit for our audience now for tomorrow morning. Sort of give a little head start of why you should wake up early unless you're in Australia. And then, of course, it'll be late. And
what exactly goes on tomorrow morning, Ken? And what time does it start?
Well, I think devotional, we're probably not going to stream at 7:30 a.m. our time. And I believe the session actually begins at 8:30 tomorrow morning. I know we will definitely end by 12 noon, and we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 9 resolutions. That's including, of course, the thank yous to the volunteers. And, boy, we have had some of the best volunteers here that you could ever imagine. Just wonderful people.
We even had a nice young 8-year-old. This young man was very animated. He comes up to me and says, do you need help going anywhere? Well, I'm just walking to the elevator. And didn't hesitate to just say, okay, I'll help you. And was very helpful, very animated in the way he conducted himself. Very verbal, great directions, but had to run and beat his little buddy to the elevator button. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you don't guide a person by pulling him as you run. But it was cute. You know, and then I saw this other little young girl with her backpack, and she was very thrilled about her. I guess they have these new backpacks that they were selling that they go on either side of you and they kind of wrap around your body. And it's kind of neat how they have those backpacks. It's like you don't have this big old thing on your back. It's on either side underneath your arm, and it kind of has the straps to keep it in place. And if you look at it from behind, you think you're wearing some sort of a canvas vest or something. But it's a I don't know how to categorize it, but it was a modern age backpack, I guess you can call it. It was neat.
Well, I know they had a lot of the puppy raisers out here helping not only clean up after some of the dogs, but also helping some of the people. We had people from UC Davis that were in the nursing program there and different things, and had some, of course, the old, I forgot what they call them now, but
tell
when I worked
Pioneers?
For AT&T, the Pioneers.
Yeah, Sarah and her crew.
Oh, they are so wonderful.
She always does a good job. She's always smiling, always makes things extra friendly. So, you know, my hat goes off to them. Excuse me?
I actually am a Pioneer.
Oh, that's right. You work for the phone company.
Yeah, I had 21 years.
But, Ken, were there modern phones back when you were young, or what happened?
Well, I worked with Mr. Watson.
Oh. I heard you used to play with Alexander Graham Bell. Is
well, yeah, well, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
You rang his bell. I'm sorry.
His wife, yeah, well, do you know how, this is the truth, do you know how they got the name Ma Bell?
No.
Alexander Graham Bell's wife's name was Mabel, and it ended up being Ma Bell.
Ma Bell.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Things you learn. Well,
little bit of trivia there.
Absolutely.
Unimportant.
So
who cares?
You worked for AT&T for
21 years.
21 years?
What's interesting there, if you think about it, back in 1984, of course, was the big divestiture where all the little companies broke off of AT&T. They were forced to by the court.
Yes.
And where are they at today? They're all back together.
That's right. Ma Bell became Baby Bells all over the place. Southern Bell, Midwest Bell. Yeah. Now they're all back together.
Yeah.
So.
But, I worked there up in San Francisco and had a good time working there. I had a good career.
So you did time at AT&T, huh? Sounds like a criminal sentence. I did time at AT&T.
I felt that way, son. But, you know, of course, when I started there, it was Pacific Telephone and Telegraph.
The Pacific Telesis Company.
And then afterward, it went to Pacific Telesis and then Pacific Telephone. Then it went to SBC and, of course, later on back to AT&T. SBC was a European company that took it over for a while. Very short time, actually. But they sure did. And things have certainly changed in the way the whole mechanism of the telephones changed. I remember as a teenage young adult how we used to try and make free phone calls. I probably shouldn't tell all these secrets, but they don't work anymore.
No, we all did that at one time or another. Build a blue box to generate the tone.
I had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And one time, though, I went to a pay phone before they really sealed those things shut. I could unscrew the receiver, and with AT&T, you could take the little transmitter out, or I guess the little receiver out, and if you touch the back of it to the coin return, it would short out and it would give you a dial tone. So you didn't have to put, at that time, a dime in and make a call. And one time I tried that with General Telephone. And when I touched the back of that thing to the coin return, I dropped it and jumped because that gave me some voltage.
Right
in
your fingers.
Oh, did it ever.
Unexpected 48 volts coming right at you.
I thought it would work the same as the AT&T, and I found out differently.
Well, way back when, right about that same time when they were going to this ESS system, we had, there used to be a electronics show at the convention center, and they had a bunch of courtesy phones that you could pick up, and they would patch you through the number and tell you press this code or press that code, and that's all you can do, just a three-digit code. But some of us who had old Tempo radios, if you remember Henry Radio, Henry Radio used to sell their own brand of handheld two-way, two-meter radios. And it can generate tones. So you had A, B, C, and D. And we discovered that if you press C and D or C and B, it would trip a relay on the convention center phone system that opened up a long and dial tone for you to call anyway. Okay, I guess Frank is getting ready to talk. So
I think we have to get back to the
You are happier listening to the banquet speaker than you are to me. So to that end, I want to share a little bit more of my research. Obviously, other people of great prominence have weighed in on the major question of the evening. For example, Ralph Nader was asked that question, why does a chicken cross the road? And he said, evil tire makers have misled chickens into believing that roads are safe. Chickens aren't ignorant, but our society pays tire makers to create the need for these roads and then lures chickens into believing there is an advantage to crossing them. Down with the roads, up with the chickens. And before the tomatoes go airborne, I'm going to turn the microphone over to our illustrious president of the American Council of the Blind, who probably has much better jokes than I do.
Thanks, Frank. I don't know about that, but I do have the dubious distinction of actually having been at a speech that Ralph Nader gave. It was way back in, I think, 1970, and I was a sophomore at the greatest school in California, the University of Southern California. And I am here to tell you, that Ralph Nader was never that funny. And I am here to tell you, if you ever have a serious case of insomnia, go online and find a Ralph Nader speech, any speech. Now, I was given, I also, by the way, had one of the greatest experiences. I actually got to hear Orson Welles live. The fire marshal almost closed down Bovard Auditorium. We had 1,100 people in a 600-seat auditorium. That was cool. I was given two directives tonight. One, and not necessarily in this order, be light and be short. Well, I am light, even though we've got Mediterranean blood. I am pretty light-skinned. And I'm getting shorter every year. So what I thought I'd do is tell a few stories about not just the last 6 years of experiences as president, having mostly to do with travel, but perhaps throw a couple of stories in about some experiences prior to becoming ACB president. And in the category of always make sure that you and your host knows what night you're arriving, and because we're being streamed over ACB radio, I will not mention the state. But I'm sure tempted. No, because she used to live in California. I think it was the first time that Donna attended a state convention with me. I should say at the outset, I've been fortunate in the last 6 years to probably attend half of our state affiliate conventions, and prior to becoming president, I'd attended a bunch of others. But we had a flight, and we had a layover, and we arrived at the airport in this city in a very rural area about 1:15 in the morning. Now, airports at that time of night, except perhaps for the international terminal, are pretty quiet anyway. So we land, and we thought that there was going to be someone to meet us, and there wasn't a soul. Well, the first thing I discovered, for whatever reason, is that my cell phone, and it's Verizon then and now, I couldn't make any calls. Yes, it was, actually. I'm not sure why Donna's phone worked, but we finally called the party where we were staying, and the lady kind of sleepily said, "I didn't think you were coming till tomorrow." No, the other tomorrow. Fortunately, the cab fare wasn't too outrageous, and we did get there and all of that sort of thing. But as I say, when you're traveling, always make sure that they're expecting you on the night. Well, make sure you're expected on the night that each of you thinks you're coming. I just got back from Starkville, Mississippi. And it was my second trip to Mississippi. And the really good thing about it is that my oldest stepdaughter lives in Georgia, a little town called West Dallas, Georgia, which is halfway between Atlanta and the Alabama line. So the two times that I've had meetings, this has to do with the Mississippi State National Rehabilitation Training Center. I represent ACB on their advisory board. So the two times that I've been there, Lori has been able to drive and meet me and spend the night. And this last time, last week, she had my 13-year-old granddaughter, Allie, with her. But it concerned me when I was there 2 years ago as well as last week. I'm thinking, you know, Mississippi, it's kind of a conservative state. And while I was up front, said my stepdaughter and my granddaughter are staying in the room, we've got a rollaway bed and all that, same thing 2 years ago, I'm thinking, I wonder if these people really believe that this is my stepdaughter. I certainly hope so. But I have to tell two stories about Starkville, Mississippi. Both of them actually had to do with the first trip there. We are checking into the motel. It's actually a Holiday Inn Express. And there's a chap there, and I like the guy, so I won't mention his name, although I'm sure he's not listening, because he was the NFB rep to the advisory board. I will just say his name, Mr. Brown. And among other things, Mr. Brown is an O&M instructor part-time. Well, for those who don't know, Mississippi State's mascot is a bulldog. And we are checking into the lobby, and in the hallway, on a large table, is a large brass bulldog. Now, if you've ever been around real diehard Federationists with their 90-inch canes and an arc like the Grim Reaper's scythe. Mr. Brown checked in and starts through the doorway and down the hall, and all of a sudden we hear this horrific crash. He took out the table and that poor bulldog. Now, fast forward 2 years. We check in a week ago, Wednesday evening. There's no brass table and no bulldog. They knew we were coming. I didn't have the heart to ask Mr. Brown whether he was looking for it. But you can tell Starkville is a small town. When I flew in the first time, changed planes in Memphis, and it was one of those prop jobs, small prop plane. Now, unlike it sounds like most of you here, I love small planes. I actually got to fly a Cessna 182 many years ago. It's a dual control airplane. It looks like one of those old driver training cars you might remember from high school. But I had a guy who let me fly his plane for 15 minutes. But we're flying in on a small plane. Well, Friday afternoon, we all go to the airport. It's got one gate. It looks like an airport out of about 1945. And we arrive, and there's a film crew there, a television film crew. And we're all trying to figure out why. We were just an advisory group from all over the country at a meeting at Mississippi State University. We couldn't figure out what in the world. Well, here's what passes for big news in Starkville, Mississippi. We were flying back on the last prop plane that would ever service the Starkville Airport. They switched over to small jets the next day, and they had a film crew out doing a story on the last prop flight out of Starkville. You know, we were trying to figure out, was somebody trying to hijack the plane and fly to Orlando or what? So that's those. You know, my stories about Starkville, Mississippi, which they're wonderful people down there, and you know the catfish is great and the oysters are wonderful, and I got addicted to sweet tea many years ago. So, I have to tell a story, though, about Donna.
No.
Donna, believe it or not, and I really didn't, Donna had never flown until we got together. And she must have seen the Patsy Cline story. Remember the Patsy Cline story? Did anybody ever explain the last scene in the Patsy Cline story? Next to last, just before the funeral scene. There's a pan shot out the window of the plane, and it's foggy. All of a sudden, the fog clears just in time for all of them to see them flying into the side of a mountain. Donna insists on sitting by the window. And that's okay, but she really is a white-knuckle flyer, and I have really been working on her for years. And what I basically tried to do, most of you know who Bill Engvall is. He's Jeff Foxworthy's buddy. And I saw Bill Engvall live at think Universal Amphitheater a number of years ago. And Bill Engvall, his comedy bit is, here's your sign. If somebody does something really stupid, here's your sign. And one of his bits is, I'm sitting in the middle and I'm sitting, I'm sitting at the window and there's a fella in the middle next to me and he's obviously not doing so well, but he turns to me and he says, man, this is a real bumpy road we're going over. And we're on our way to Hawaii. So I've been trying to convince Donna for years that we're not dealing with turbulence. We're actually traveling over a bumpy road. But it doesn't work. She doesn't believe me. So she continues to sit next to the window, waiting to see what's going to happen. I hope that she'll tell me if anything is. Speaking of fun air trips, we went to Bangkok, Thailand for the World Blind Union Conference in November. And aside from the fact that flying Los Angeles to Tokyo is about as long as flying from New York City to Johannesburg, which we did 10 years ago or so, it's a long flight. Now, the outbound leg, we went over Hawaii or over the Pacific. So that wasn't so bad. We went LA to Tokyo. We had a meet and assist guy at the airport who speaks better English than most of the people I know in LA. That's because he used to work in St. Louis. I can't imagine a Japanese guy dealing with St. Louis, but that's a whole different matter. And then we flew from Tokyo to Bangkok, and that was okay. Except Donna and I ate more sushi on that flight and that whole week than we have in our entire life. Oh, she didn't eat the sushi. I ate the sushi. I just thought of it as Asian lox. But then there was the flight back from Bangkok. And we changed planes in Hong Kong. And I was really afraid we were going to miss the flight. We had an hour layover. And I was actually talking, I don't know if Paul Leung's here, but I was telling Paul, we landed in Hong Kong. And they were right at the airport, right at the airplane door. The Hong Kong airport is huge. And as things worked out, our first leg was at one end of the airport, and the second leg was at the other end of the airport. Their meet and assist guy got us through three checkpoints, including taking our shoes off two different times, and we got to the plane with 15 minutes to spare. It was absolutely... Oh, and he spoke better English than most of the people in L.A., too. But the trip back, I thought we were going to go back kind of the same way we went, but oh no. We went the polar route in November. I didn't drink a whole lot of coffee or beer on that flight. I think it was an 11-hour flight, and I believe we had our seatbelts on for about 9.5 of those. We started, there were storms from Siberia to Northern California. At one point, though, when the turbulence wasn't bad, I said, babe, I'm going to go take a walk. Now, you have to understand, we were on Cathay Pacific, and the folks are wonderful, But my guess is we were the first blind passengers they'd ever had. So the first thing that happened when we got on the plane, when the young lady said, "If you need to use the restroom, raise your hand or ring the bell and I'll take you." And I smiled and said, "It's okay, you don't have to." So I get up, and we're on a 767, I think. So you walk back a few rows, and there's the galley, and you've got aisles on two sides. And the restrooms actually were on the other side, on the other aisle from where we were sitting. So I'm standing, because there were a couple of folks ahead of me, and I'm standing in the galley, and I'm not holding on. I don't need to. It's not rocking and rolling, at least not initially. And the longer I stand there, the rougher it's getting. And finally, after about 7-8 minutes, I have my hand on the galley sink, or whatever it was, whatever the serving area. And, you know, every 2 minutes I'm assuring the sweet young thing, "No, I'm fine, thank you very much." Finally, there's an opening, and I go in, and I sit down, and that's when we're really bouncing around. It's the sort of thing where even if you're a man, you sit. Because if you don't, you're going to embarrass yourself. So we made it out of there and got back to the seat and all of that. But the whole time I'm thinking of Donna, because Donna just doesn't deal well with turbulence, and this was not a fun flight. So we've had some fun times in our travels. Every convention that I go to, every state convention, they do things differently. I played bingo in North Carolina. One of the really good guys in ACB is a vendor by the name of Ron Eller. Oh, yeah. And I just like Ron a lot. But that was my first convention as president. And Donna didn't go with me, and it's a good thing. Because while the South is beginning to get the word about smoking, not every place gets the word about smoking, speaking of Michael. Imagine my surprise when I walked into the restaurant and Ron invites me to his table because he's treating me to breakfast. And even before they bring the coffee, the man lights up. And I'm from California. I'm not used to that. So one makes adjustments, I guess. But all in all, it's been a great 6 years. Most of the experiences have been very positive. I've met some wonderful folks along the way. That lady in the back with about dessert doesn't need a microphone, does she? We don't need any stinking ALDs. And I'm keeping it light, and I'm going to keep it short. I'm about done. Yay! See, I always know what I can expect from California. Oh, absolutely. But I am very much looking forward to getting up on the first Monday morning that I'm not ACB president and saying, screw it, I'm not turning on my computer today. I'm also looking forward to, well, not that I come to this convention and you know, not say anything, because this is my family, but I've been pretty careful over the years at other affiliate conventions. You know, you have to respect the proprieties and not get involved in other affiliates' affairs. And I've been pretty scrupulous about that. But what I'm really looking forward to, is my first national convention in Las Vegas in 2014. Not sitting at the head table and giving the head table folks as bad a time as they've given me over the years. So with that, I will slink off into the darkness. Yeah. Have myself an overpriced beer at the bar and maybe an overpriced beer in the hospitality suite tonight. And I can't. I want to thank all of you for love and your support over the last 6 years. You're obviously showing the same love and support to the CCB president, and she needs it. And again, I don't know who all is listening on ACB radio, and I please understand, I'm a little biased. I think the California Council of Blind is the best ACB affiliate there is. So we all take care, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Thank you, Mitch. It was we enjoyed traveling with you vicariously there, and again, thank you very much for your many years of service to ACB and to CCB. And that's not the end of the thank yous tonight. This is the time in our banquet when we take a few minutes to recognize success here in our affiliate. And to that end, I'm going to ask our membership chair and our awards committee chair to present themselves so that they can share some awards for us. And Artis, are you ready? Okay, I'll first turn the microphone over to Miss Artis Bazin, our membership co-chair.
Well, I get the pleasure of presenting two affiliate growth awards. Each spring, we give a growth award to the chapter who's grown the most by percentage. And then we also give an award to the chapter that's grown the most by number of members. I have to tell you a little story. Today, we had two chapters that had grown by the same number of members. And so I asked our president to break the tie. I did not tell her what two chapters they were. I just told her the numbers, and I told her that one, I said, well, how do you want me to break the tie? Do you want me to give it to the one with that has, you know, the lower number of members, so which would make it higher percentage of members, or how do you want me to handle it? And she said, well, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't I do that? Well, the number of the highest number of members was 7, and the two chapters that were tie were the Glendale Burbank area chapter and the San Gabriel Valley chapter. So since the Glendale Burbank chapter is smaller, ours was a higher percentage of growth for the 7.
Why don't you tell them your position?
The other award goes to the Solano Council of the Blind because they had the highest percentage of growth, 29%. So congratulations to both of those affiliates. I think Sandy Larson is here from Solano. Nelson, I'm sorry, Nelson. Oh, congratulations, Sandy. And I happen to be the lucky president of Glendale Burbank, so... I do want to tell you, though, I'm disappointed again. This is the second year in a row we do not have a Chapter of the Year award. We had no one turn in a letter telling about what their chapter had done. And I really want to encourage you throughout the rest of this year to find some activity that you can do as a chapter that means a lot in your community. All you have to do is write a letter explaining what activity you did as a chapter. So in other words, all the members assisted in that particular project, and then send a letter to CCB before February 15 next year. And by doing that, you are have the possibility of winning that Chapter of the Year award. So I'd really like to encourage you to think of a project that would be great for your community and get the word out about your particular chapter. So thank you very much.
And do we have a representative from the Solano County chapter present this evening?
Yes, she is.
Nope, okay. Yes. Oh, we do? Good, is she here?
I just wanted to say thank you very much. And David Jackson and Artis helped us all in a conference call trying to get members. And Diane Phelps has been there forever. It's over 30 years. And she's helped quite a bit with Betty, our president. So I just wanted to say thanks to all you guys. We learned how to grow.
And congratulations, and it's I can tell you from personal awareness that's it's important that we have a presence in Solano County. In my day job, I work as an information referral specialist at the Lighthouse for the Blind, and we get calls from the Vacaville, Fairfield area all the time. So there's definitely a need for our community to be active in that area. That's great. Do we have any other awards that will be presented this evening? Oh, okay, Linda.
You need me to pass the mic to you?
Yeah.
Whoops.
What?
Oh, well. That's all right.
Okay. Frank and I successfully moved the microphone past all the plates and glasses and so forth without causing any major slow and steady wins the race. So All right. I took on, was appointed by President Donna to be the chair of the Publications Committee right around the time of the fall convention. And so as part of that new responsibility, it's my great pleasure to be involved in making the two awards that are given out annually by the Publications Committee. There is one given out for an issue-oriented article, and there's one given out for a lifestyle article in the Blind Californian. And so we have a process, a voting process, kind of a ranked voting thing. We love ranked voting in San Francisco. It's an idea whose time has come. And so we worked out this voting arrangement and came to the conclusion and chose the following two articles. Interestingly enough, both of them came from the fall 2012 issue. So, for the issue-oriented article, I'm proud to announce that a member of my own San Francisco chapter won that article, Ms. Susan Kitazawa, for delighting in our differences. Now, Susan is not here this evening, but we'll certainly be taking this back to her and presenting it, hopefully, at our next chapter meeting. I'm going to tell a little funny story about Susan. Susan was a nurse for many years, and she was a school nurse, and she's very, very particular and meticulous and organized, and everything has to be just so. So we're riding home one day in the car. Myself, Ellie Wong Lee is driving and taking Susan and I home. We're riding down Valencia Street, and Susan likes to talk, so she talks and talks and talks. So she's like, oh, well, I used to work at that school. She's pointing up a street where one of the elementary schools was. And, well, you know, and I used to take my car to this gas station. And the other day I was walking by there with my cane, and they called to me from the gas station, and they said, oh, we were wondering why you didn't come by here anymore. Because Susan had her sight, and she used to drive and stop at the gas. She no longer can do that. Anyway, so she wrote this wonderful piece, and we will give her the award for the issue-oriented article. And she got quite a number of ranked votes. Of all the people who voted, she was very much the runaway clear winner in that category. So the other article, the lifestyle article. Now, the choice on that choice, the ranked choice on that one, was much closer. And so I decided that I would take my prerogative as chair to weigh in and vote as well. And so the person who's winning this is going to know right away. Because it turns out I had quite a personal interest in the subject of this article. The article was by Bev Clifford of the Silicon Valley Council. And I'm embarrassed. I'm forgetting the title of the article. But it was about her experience of literally attending her daughter's childbirth and being helped by the physician to catch the baby. And the reason that I love this article so much is that I was present at my own daughter's home births of two of her daughters. So this is a marvelous experience, and how fortunate Bev is to have had that experience. So I'm hoping that Ed will escort me to where Bev is sitting so I can give her this plaque myself. Is she not here? She is here. Yay! All right.
that on? Oh, there it is. So, is this the Oscars? I have to thank my producer and my mom and my dad and my writing teachers. I don't know. Thank you very much. I'm flabbergasted. This is just amazing. Thank you. I enjoyed writing this a lot. And when I decided to send it in, after I wrote it, I thought, well, you know, this is an unusual subject. I don't think I've ever read anything like this in the Blind Californian before. And it was just such a completely awesome and unusual experience. So that's why I sent it for all of you to read. And I just hope you all enjoyed reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it and as much as I enjoyed being there. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations to Bev and to Susan. And I'm looking forward to being there at next week's chapter meeting. That'll be a lot of fun. And I know both these individuals, so I'm delighted. So now is the point in our festivities where we recognize the contributions of chapters, and also, if there are chapters that want to make contributions at this time, or also including those chapters who have been conducting raffles this week who would like to draw the winners, please, a representative from the chapter, please stand up so that Ed can bring the microphone to you, and so that we can recognize you and you can make your presentation. We very much appreciate the involvement of all of our chapters in contributing to the health of the organization, both financially and through your ongoing efforts at the local level, because that is the fundamental strength of our organization, is our local activities. Let's start with donations. And so again, if your chapter has a donation, please do stand up. Maybe if you need to wave to get your attention, that's fine too.
One over here.
And do say your name and
She's,
your chapter.
She was not looking for that. Okay. Two over here. Okay, this is Jeff Tom. I am really pinch hitting for Aubrey Schumann, who wasn't feeling so good, so he went upstairs. This is on behalf of the Lily Perry Foundation. The trustees are Abby, myself, and your MC for this evening, Mr. Welty. And we are donating to the CCB Scholarship Fund the sum of $2,000.
Okay, hi, this is Leslie Tom. And I have, with Jeff and I have $500 for the general fund and $500 for the crisis committee fund.
Oh, thank,
thank
you
very much. Do we have more out there?
Yep, we do.
Excellent.
I have to get around.
Ed is, leaping over dogs and traversing around chairs. And he's quite graceful.
He is.
Good evening. This is Steve Fort from Baby a Chapter, and Baby a Chapter has donated $250 to the general fund.
Yay! Thank you.
Thank you, Baby. $250, that's terrific.
Anyone else?
And right now Ed is thinking, we should have just set up in two long tables and it would have been much easier.
There's no one else standing, Frank, but we did receive another donation at the reg table today.
Okay, can you tell us about that, Ed?
Pardon me?
You said you received
another... We received another donation at the registration table.
Okay, can you tell us about that?
That was from the Fresno chapter, $25 to the general fund.
Excellent. Yay. Thank you, Fresno. And now I know that there have been people running around selling raffles vigorously. And now we will, those that are going to be drawing tickets, stand up and let's do that. So stand up and we can...
We have one over here.
We have one. Okay, Ed's coming. And tell us who you are in your chapter and tell us about your raffle.
Okay. This is... Actually, it's an affiliate Guide Dog Users of California. We have a 50-50 raffle, and some lucky individual is going to get $58.
And then after they leave there, they will have about 150 friends.
That's right.
Yes. Wrote the name on the back of the tickets. The last three numbers are 527. We'll see who the name is.
527.
Now you're all going to say it's rigged. Mary Beth Randall and Tennyson.
Hey, Mary Beth.
Hey.
So remember, when you go to hospitality tonight, give Mary Beth a hug. Congratulations. Yeah. Do we have any other raffles tonight?
Yeah. We should have just kept it in the room.
Got somebody there?
Yeah, she's got her reward.
Oh. Somebody's coming. Nobody else. Okay.
Should we do a door prize?
That sounds good.
Door prize. What should we do?
I think it's Mitch's turn.
That was our treasurer. I heard that money. Let's see. What should we do? Let's do a... another lunch bag with $25 in it. There's no food in there. Katrina McCurdy, are you in the room?
All right.
Yay. All right. That's great. Should we do another one?
Let's do another one.
You know what? Let's do the mystery tin. From the ACB Capital Chapter.
Mystery tin.
Cellophane wrapped, red tin. Chocolate boardwalk crunch. The mystery is over, Ed said. Let's have Joni draw. Yeah. That sounds yummy. Watch, she picks her name. Eric Smiley, are you in the room? They found Eric.
All right, Eric. Do you think we should do another one?
Yeah.
One more here.
Shall we do another lunch bag with some cash and a bag of fudge?
Oh.
A lunch bag with the cash. How much cash is in there? $25. And let's put some fudge in there, too. Mmm. Let's have Paul Jr.
draw that.
Ooh. Lunch bag, fudge. Elmer Chapson, are you in the room?
Oh. Not here?
Not here.
Not here.
Yep.
Too bad.
Ah. Jeff Bialek? Yay!
Well, folks, I think it's time.
Uh-oh. Is it time for the surprise?
It's time for the surprise.
The surprise. Ooh. How are we going to do it?
How are we going to do it?
Yes, tell me.
Well, first off, I'm going to need a couple of volunteers, well, at least one volunteer with a microphone who's ready to get a little bit of a workout.
One volunteer with a microphone.
And I'll tell you what it is.
Ooh.
Each table is going to be competing against the other tables.
Oh.
And we, yes, including ours. So each table, pick a spokesperson, because we are going to play CCB California Trivia.
Woohoo!
That's true. And then when it comes to... The head table should probably be exempt, besides which we probably have an unfair advantage when it comes to the CCB questions here. But so...
What? Yes, we're all very trivial. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so pick a spokesperson for your table, and I'll tell you how this is going to work. I have a set of questions that I have put together in advance.
Oh.
And I'm going to be picking them at random. And we're going to go from table to table, and we will ask the question. If you know the answer, you give the answer and you get a point. If you don't, we go to the next table and they get a shot at it. And we're going to see how far we get. So, Ed, if you're doing the mic, then feel free to just pick the order that works for you, but be consistent about the order, because I'm going to be assuming we're going in the same order from table 1 to table 13, and so I'm going to be keeping track of it there. All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're going to get started here. All right, table 1, I'm pulling out my questions here. And I'm just going to pick one at random. And this is a CCB question.
Ah.
When was the ACB convention last in California?
1992.
No.
Oh.
Move on to table 2.
Table 2.
Table 2.
Okay, here we go then. 1999.
Correct, 1999.
Yay!
Los Angeles at the Westin Hotel. That's right. Yes, so now we'll move on to table 3. Number 3.
Table number 3.
And...
So are you keeping score, or do you want us to keep score, or how do we do it?
If you can keep score, I'd appreciate that.
All right.
Okay, so table 2 has a point?
Yay.
All right. Table number 3. What city is farther east? A, Los Angeles. B, Reno. C, Sacramento. Or D, San Francisco. Which city is farthest east?
Los Angeles.
Correct.
Woo!
Table number 4. Very good.
Table 4. So that's table 3. Huh?
Table 3, excuse me. Okay.
Table
ready
4.
At table number 4?
Yes.
Okay. What was Kathy Skiver's primary employer? When she was a working woman, where was her main employer during those years?
She worked at IRS in Oakland.
Correct.
This is table five.
Table number five.
Who's your spokesperson?
Okay. I hope there's a sports fan at this table.
Microphone, hold it close to your mouth.
How many World Series championships have been won by teams in California? A, 5. B, 12. C, 18. No, excuse me, C, 16, D, 18. 5, 12, 16, or 18?
18.
What's your guess?
18.
18, did you say?
Yeah.
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Okay.
Table six.
Number six.
Who's your spokesperson here?
Okay.
Table number six.
Yes.
How many World Series championships have been won by teams in California? And I'm saying when those teams were in California. I don't count the New York ones.
we will say 12.
Yes. 12.
That was table
That's
six.
That's right.
It's table seven.
Good. Table number seven. You ready?
They are ready.
We'll find out, won't we?
Okay. Let's see. Let me check this one. Okay. In what year were the ACB convention and the CCB conventions held in the same hotel?
Oh. Okay, group.
That's a good one.
In the same hotel.
Run, little
the year?
Hamsters.
92, we believe.
90? Did you say 92?
Yes.
Nope.
Dang.
Table number eight.
Okay, table number eight.
What's that, Louie?
Over there.
This is Richard. It's 1993.
Correct. 1993, San Francisco Airport Marriott Hotel. Yeah.
Was that table number eight?
That was table number eight,
okay.
Yes. Table number nine.
Okay.
How many California cities have more than 100,000 residents? I'm going to give it's a multiple choice. A, 53, B, 58, C, 68, or D, 80.
Oh, my.
How many cities, according to Wikipedia?
Oh, that's a reliable series.
That changes day to day. What are you talking about?
But they claim to be based on the 2010 census.
Right.
53, 58, 68, or 80?
We're going with 53.
Nope.
This is table 10.
Table 10.
Which person here?
58, 68, or 80?
Okay. I'm going to go with 68.
Yes.
Table 10 wins.
And by the way, that's important to know because as a rule of thumb, you want to be aware of this. As a rule of thumb, in any given population, about 2% are visually impaired, and about 0.2% are totally blind. What that means is, in a city of 100,000 people, in those 68 cities, there are at least 2,000 people who are visually impaired. I think we have a lot of opportunities, CCB.
Recruiting.
Okay, which are we up to? Which table are we up to now?
11.
11, okay.
Table 11.
What was the name of the infamous spring 1996 convention hotel where the hotel and restaurant staffs were feuding?
Were what?
Where the hotel and restaurant staffs were actually feuding with each other.
Oh, they were feuding. Wow.
And there had been a fire not too long before there, too. It was a very interesting experience.
Oh, my God.
Now, those of you who are there will know it when you hear the name, because you will remember. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Wow. Frank, these are good questions.
Spring 1996, in the hotel from
Table hell. 11 thinks it's Double Tree.
No, not the Double Tree.
Oh.
Table 12.
Who's the spokesperson at this table 12?
I kind of like the Double Tree. I mean, you got to like a place that has free cookies.
They
right?
have good cookies.
We're going to say the Beverly Garland.
Yes, the infamous Beverly Garland Hotel.
That's table 12. Table 13.
Okay.
Lucky 13.
Here's another, table 13, here's another sports question. Which city is not the former home of a California pro sports team? Cleveland, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, or St. Louis? Not the former home of a California sports team.
Oh.
Former home.
Not yes. the former home?
Not four of those five cities actually had a team that ended up in California.
Oh.
Cleveland, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, or St. Louis?
I guess we're going
Which
with...
Which one was not?
What are we doing? Cleveland?
Okay,
Did
Jeff.
Somebody guess?
Cleveland.
No. Nope. Not Cleveland. The Cleveland Rams.
Okay, we're going back to table one, Frank.
Table one.
Table one.
All right.
What happened? There was no wah, wah, wah.
Kansas City, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, or St. Louis?
I'm going to say St. Louis.
Correct.
Yay! Table one has a point.
St. Louis got the Rams after they left California. That's right. Yes, that's right. Kansas City contributed both the A's and the Kings. Minnesota Lakers. That's why they were called Lakers, because they actually do have lakes in Minnesota.
Ah.
Yes, and Philadelphia A's and Warriors. There you go. Okay.
Table
All right,
two.
What are we going to do, table one or two?
Two.
Table two. Okay, I have to change my page here. Are we having fun?
Yay! Woo!
How? The scream table. But Louis knows all the answers. I won't dare go there. Besides, yes. We've got to keep him happy with those great sounds. Where'd you get those, Louis? Those are terrific.
I know. I like those.
Okay. Yep. How many CCB presidents have also been AC presidents? ACB presidents. Both ACB and CCB.
How many of them? Wow.
ACB presidents?
Oh, be quiet. They're right in front of you. They'll hear you. They're conferring. Wow.
All right.
There's steam coming up from table two. Wow.
I will say two.
Nope.
Oh.
Table three, Rob.
There have been two Californians as presidents, as ACB president.
Okay, I'm going to go with three.
There goes
three.
Table three.
Nope. Are we up to table four now?
Yes.
How many? How many CCB presidents have also been ACB presidents?
One.
Correct. Interestingly enough, back in 1994, both individuals who became CCB president ran against each other for CCB, and then they later ended up as ACB presidents. One, Mitch. All right.
What table got the answer?
Four.
Four. Okay.
All right. Are we up to table five now?
Yes.
Okay. How many U.S. presidents were born in California? How many U.S. presidents were born in California?
All of them. Oh, sorry.
Anybody got an idea?
How many? We know it's less than 44.
Is it bigger than a bread basket? Oh.
Well, it depends on how big the number is.
Ah. How many legs does it have?
How
Repeat
many
the question.
U.S. presidents were born in California? What was that? What did you say? Say it again.
No, that was somebody else.
Oh, that was Peanut Gallery. Okay.
No, more than two. Four.
How many? Did you say four?
Yeah.
No.
You get nothing.
Okay, table six. Table six.
Next table.
Okay, table six, we say one.
Correct. Yay. Richard Nixon. Ronald Reagan was born in Illinois, and Herbert Hoover, who did become associated with California, was born in Iowa. Okay, we have to table seven. Okay, this is an easy one.
Yeah.
In which year, you know, in which city was CCB formed? In which city was CCB formed?
Okay, Fresno?
Yes, Fresno.
Yay.
All right, you're on the board.
What table number?
Seven.
Seven.
Okay.
All right. Table number eight. You ready? Yeah. Well, you know, it took them it took that crowd a while to get in here from Fresno. That's right. Table number eight. Which city was not a California state capital? Which city was not a California state capital? San Francisco, Sacramento, San Jose, or Vallejo? Which city was not a California state capital?
I'm going to say Vallejo.
What, your answer is Vallejo?
Vallejo.
Wrong. It was the second capital of California.
Oh.
Okay, table nine.
Gotcha. Okay. Table number nine. Are we at the number nine?
Number nine.
I'm going out on the limb and say San Jose.
San Jose was the first capital. Oh. So is it San Francisco or Sacramento? Table number 10?
Table 10.
I'm going to try San Francisco.
So again, not state capital, table number 10. San Francisco or Sacramento?
I'm going to say San Francisco.
Good guess. Yay.
Table 10. Got it right.
Table 10.
Table 11.
All right. Table number 11. The CCB founder, first CCB president, Dr. Newell Perry, had a PhD in what subject? Dr. Perry was a doctor of in what subject? This is table number 11. Oh. No ACV. No ABC. Just what subject? Would you like a little help? It was in German, mathematics, philosophy, or botany. Dr. Newell Perry got his PhD in what subject? German, mathematics, philosophy, or botany? Did I get an answer?
Mathematics.
Mathematics is correct. In fact, He worked his way through school, tutoring math. Okay. So.
Table 12.
Table 12.
So that was table 11, correct?
Yes. Okay, we did that one already. What was the prior name for the city of San Francisco? Before they called it San Francisco, what did they call it?
The land of goats? I don't know. All those hills. All those hills.
Before San Francisco. Junipero, did you say?
The peanut gallery is jealous back there.
Oh. Yeah, I know.
Uh-oh.
No, it's not. Have a word? Have a guess?
Pam.
Olden Hills. We don't know.
No, no. Okay, we'll move on to the next table. Okay.
Table 13.
Table 13. 13.
Lucky number 13. Okay.
Yerba Buena.
Correct. Yerba Buena.
That was table 13, Donna.
And could you imagine the Yerba Buena Giants?
Absolutely. You bet I could.
The Yerba Buena Giants. All right, so we have to, which table are we up to now?
Table one.
Okay. Which CCB board member is a retired English professor?
Roger Peterson?
Yeah. Did we get an answer there? Say that again.
Roger Peterson?
Nope, not Roger.
Nope.
Afraid not.
Table two.
Board member who is a retired English professor.
English professor.
That's actually a clue.
Judy Wilkinson.
Yes, Judy Wilkinson. Okay. Table number three.
Yay!
They had to wait until their grades came back. Who was California's last male U.S. senator? It's been a long time, hasn't it? The last male U.S. senator.
Whatchamacallit.
And this is not an easy one.
Well, I guess I'll have to go with Alan Cranston.
He was almost, but just barely not.
Uh-oh.
There was one other one who was appointed later.
I like that. Okay, almost, four. Just barely not.
No.
Because you done goofed.
No, please don't make me do halves.
No, I think I may get one or two tables at most try this one because this is really hard. So,
oh, they're conferring over there.
He might, yeah.
Wow, I know he's all by 13.
I'm gonna let this table try and the next table.
Bernice is putting the pressure on Roger.
Ooh.
She said, "Come on, Roger, come on, you can do it." Oh.
Do you want to pass on this one?
You can take a Pasadena.
Oh, those are almost as bad as mine.
I know, it's catchy.
Yes, it is.
I didn't get vaccinated.
Shall I move on? Would you guys like to have the answer? Yes?
Okay.
Jeff, do you know this one?
Wait.
Jeff.
But table
wait.
Five.
Does table five want to give it a try? Table five?
Well, is table four going to do it?
Table four wants to try it?
Or did you pass? Come on, hurry up.
It's time. Table four, you have it?
We're passing.
You're passing.
Okay, table five.
Table five will have the last shot at this one. Nope.
Table five,
you want me to keep going?
Pass!
You want me to keep going?
Table six.
Table six. Table six.
No, we're passing.
Table seven. Table seven. Shall we move on to table eight? Seven.
Okay.
They're working on it.
Hold on. Uh-oh.
There's steam coming out of their ears.
Ed, make sure they're not cheating.
Kawa.
That's right. Put down those iPhones.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Put down those iPhones.
Down with those iPhones.
I have a rated iPhone, and I know how to use it.
Did you say S.I. Hayakawa?
Yes.
Nope. Shall I continue the torture?
Table eight.
Pass.
Table nine.
Table nine.
Pete Wilson.
Nope, but you're really close now. Nope. Table 10.
Table 10. Lee? Yeah.
Table 10.
Pete Wilson.
Uh-oh. Getting warmer.
I pass. I have no
okay.
idea.
Table 11. Ten passes. 11.
Table 11.
Go ahead, Jeff. Is that you, Jeff?
No.
Nope. Table 11.
Table 11.
You got it? Or do you pass it?
What is it?
Thomas Kegel.
Nope.
Ooh.
Nine,
nope.
Nine,
table
12.
Okay, table.
Table 12.
George Murphy.
No.
Ooh, no.
Table 13.
Table 13.
Table 13.
Well, I guess we'll go with John Tunney.
Yeah, no. You were halfway there.
No.
Have we gone through all the tables?
Table 1. No, one.
Table 1, last.
Okay, I don't know if we're back to table one now.
Nobody got it. You know, you made Kevin get off of his feet. He goes, we could get a shot at it. I know it.
He's at the head table.
But we don't get to play.
Your table doesn't have a number, Kevin.
I know, we don't get to play. Table one.
Okay, did you get it? Pass? I think we've gone through everyone, haven't we?
Yes, you have.
Yep.
Table two, you want to give one last shot? Nope. Kevin, do you know it?
Kevin, who is it?
You're right, Kevin. Pete Wilson was elected governor, and he picked John Seymour, a state senator, to be senator. And just to show the wisdom of his choice, we have had women Democrats ever since, the senators.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Good.
That was
you.
Brutal. Don't worry. None of the rest of them are that. Table one. Which very active CCB member was born in Italy? He's not very active these days, Ken.
Someone needs to put that guy outside.
Which active CCB member was born in Italy?
Okay, who's got duct tape?
Table number
Give
one.
Duct tape.
Pass. Okay, table number two.
Number two.
Coming around.
Active CCB member born in Italy.
Vita
Zavoli. That's correct.
Yay.
Hi, Vita. Table number three. Hawthorne is the hometown of which 1960s rock band? Did I hear number two? Table two?
No, table three.
Table three. Again, Hawthorne, the hometown of which 1960 California rock band?
I'm going to go with Jan and Dean.
Nope. Table number four, which band?
Yeah, shouldn't listen to those guys in the back.
Table
they
number
don't know
four.
What they're talking about.
Table number four.
The Beach Boys.
Yes, the Beach Boys. The Wilson brothers were born in Hawthorne.
Okay, table five.
Table number five. What CCB board member met their spouse at a CCB conference?
You guys know?
Well, there are a lot of them, I think.
Donna and Mitch.
What CCB Donna? Board member met their spouse at a CCB conference?
Donna.
Pardon?
Donna and Mitch.
Nope.
No.
Table six.
Board member.
Oh, we need a minute.
Number six.
Roger Peterson.
Nope.
No.
That was at an ACB convention.
Table seven.
Table seven. It was, pardon?
Okay, quick guess.
Board member.
Oh, I know. We can't.
Artie Spazin?
Nope.
Oh.
We met him at ACB.
Those are good ones, though.
Table eight.
Peter Pardini and Alice?
No. Remember, board member.
He's an ossifer.
Table nine.
Jeff and Leslie?
No.
No.
Remember,
table 10.
Board member. Not immediate past president. Board member.
Eric Smiley.
It was Eric Yay. Smiley. Eric met Karen at the CCB convention.
Okay, table 11.
All right. How many times have the Olympic Games been held in California? A, 2, B, 3, C, 4, or D, 5? All. Olympic Games.
Is it 2?
2, 3, 4, or 5?
Table 11 says 2.
Table 11 said 2?
Table 11 says 2.
Too bad.
Oh.
Table 12.
Table 12. 3, 4, or 5? How many times has California hosted the Olympics? 3, 4. Four or five?
We're going to guess three.
Correct. You got to remember Squaw Valley.
Okay, we're at table 13 now.
All right. Table 13. Which CCB leader is an organ donor?
Oh, wait. Somebody's cheating at that table, I think.
Put down that iPhone.
Ed, you have to watch him. Keep an eye on him, Ed. Don't let him use those.
CCB leader. I know you won't find this one in an iPhone.
Gabe Griffin.
Yes, it was Gabe.
That was table 13.
And then I guess we missed his kidney, so we married her.
Mitch said he kept it in the family.
All right. What California park contains the world's oldest trees?
Aww.
Angeles National Park, Sequoia National Forest, or the Redwood National Forest?
Oh. Mitch is being bad.
Naughty, naughty.
Sequoia?
Okay, Angeles, Sequoia, or Redwood?
Hey, be quiet back there. You can't play.
Table? Which table is that? We have the two?
If we can't play, you can't play.
What's your pick? What's your choice?
Redwood.
Redwood? Nope. So is it Angeles or Sequoia?
Okay, what table are we at now?
Okay, number two. No, they said Redwood.
No, number two.
Table two.
Okay, table two.
Angeles or Sequoia?
Sequoia.
Yes, Sequoia. The old giant Sequoia trees.
You want to be three.
Really?
But he's saying the most.
Okay, let's see.
Table is ahead of everybody.
I just have a couple more.
Else.
In fact, I have one more. Last question.
Oh. Table number 3.
Which CCB has literally written the book on organizational leadership? Which CCB leader has written books on organizational leadership?
Artis Basin.
Yes. And who's our scorer over here? How are we doing on scoring?
Okay.
What's the result?
The result is the winner. Dun, 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 dun. Table number 2 with 4 points.
Congratulations.
All right.
Congratulations. I hope you all had a lot of fun with that. That was I had fun finding those questions, and that was
Table number 2 got 4 answers correct. So they were the winner with 4.
Very good. Well, we have just a couple of things to finish. First off, do we have any more door
prizes?
Hold on
1 second.
What?
I have a question, Ed.
Yes.
How many people are at table number 2?
How many people are at table number 2? 7?
How many bags of fudge do we have left?
How many bags of fudge do we have
left? Do we have 7 bags of fudge?
Do we have 7 bags of fudge? We have 6 bags of fudge.
All right.
Shall we give our 6 bags of fudge to table 2?
Yay!
Congratulations, table 2.
Let them eat fudge, our treasurer says.
So everybody's going to be following around table 2 for the next 12 hours.
Katrina, thank you.
Very good. Madam President, shall we do a door prize?
Yes.
They're conferring.
Let's give a cash prize.
Cash prize.
$25 donated by who? From Bayview.
$25
chapter.
From Bayview.
And let's see, who should draw? Who should draw? We'll have Mitch draw.
Maybe we should have somebody from table 2. They're lucky. Yeah.
Okay. Beverly Clifford!
Woo! All right. She is lucky tonight. More,
Beverly
or should we
Clifford!
Move on?
All right.
She is lucky tonight.
Okay, we are going to go ahead and save the rest of our door prizes for the business meeting tomorrow.
All right. I believe, yes. Do we have a raffle?
Oh, no, I think we're done. Don't you think we're done? Oh, we're not?
I think there may be a, hello? There may be a
yes, Pam. And...
we're not?
Oh, I like that.
That's a good idea.
Should we meet the
do
geniuses
you meet
at table
2?
The California CCB experts.
We could meet table 2, yeah.
Who wants table 2? Do I hear a show of hands?
Let's meet table 2.
Table 2.
Ed, can you do the microphone to table 2 so that folks could know who is at table 2?
Good evening. Thank you, everybody. My name is Eric Smiley, a board member and a member of Redwood Empire Council of the Blind, as well as the ACB Capital Chapter.
And husband of Karen Smiley. This is Gigi DeMarie.
Larry Hall, proud member of Redwood Empire Chapter in Santa Rosa, and a proud member of San Francisco.
Hey, Larry, I didn't know you were here. Wow.
Lorraine Theveny, first-timer from Redwood
chapter.
No wonder they got so many questions right.
Diane Deutsch from Redwood Empire Chapter in Greater Bakersfield.
All right.
No wonder they. That's going to be a fun train ride tomorrow.
Who else?
Bill Gillespie.
Bill.
From Redwood Empire Chapter. And I'm also the vice president.
Yay, Bill. Who else?
Pam Pology, San Gabriel Valley Chapter, Credentials Chair, and proud member of Table 2.
Woo! Yay! All right. I guess we will have our drawing.
Oh, boy. Time for your drawing.
Now, we have several prizes, correct? All right. We have the cash. Okay, fundraising committee. Mr. Ken Metz, or whoever else. Yes, the first prize is $500, right? The second prize is what? Oh, he's not hearing. No, he's... You have the iPad, right? The iPad. The second prize is... an iPad. The fundraising committee doesn't know what the prizes are. The third prize is... what is the third prize? Come on. The Walmart gift certificate. Walmart gift card. The Walmart gift certificate. $100... Peter, Mr. Treasurer? $100.
Uh-oh. Where are...
I know Ken's here. Uh-oh. Ken? Okay.
Do we have our raffle tickets here for that? Do we have the drawing tickets? Okay.
All right. So folks are saying it's $500 cash prize, iPad, and the Walmart gift card.
Okay.
Now, which one do you want to draw first? Do we draw first or do we draw third?
Let's do third.
We're going okay, now Ed is, we're going to draw first.
Shaking those things up there.
First prize, $500. Ed is moving that box around. It's for effect, he says. Yeah. Wow. The suspense. Ooh. Intrigue. Now Ed is shaking his whole body and the box too. It's his aerobic exercise. Okay, why don't we have Bill Gillespie draw?
Lucky Bill.
Okay, why don't we
This is for the $100 Walmart gift certificate.
Why don't we have Bill $100 Walmart. Lucky Bill. Dig down in there. Move them around.
Brian Jones. Does it say where?
559 area code.
559. That would be around the Fresno area.
All right.
From Fresno.
I love it.
All right.
No, that was Davy Jones. That was not Brian Jones.
All right.
I love it. So someone claims him. Oh,
so
right.
who wants to draw for second prize the iPad?
Ah, who will draw for the iPad?
I want
now,
everybody to channel
now
the
remember,
word Frank.
Let's see. Who should we have draw? We should have Roger draws. Roger? Yes, Roger Peterson. Roger gets to draw for the iPad. Now remember, folks,
Now, remember, folks, it's not the newest. It's the one behind the newest, or the one, I don't know how to say it. I've had a lot of carrot cake. It is brand new, in the box, Roger's drawing. Wouldn't that be interesting if Roger... Tom Traer, San Diego chapter.
All right. Woo! And if Tom doesn't want it, my phone number is...
626-233-2991. Yay.
And let's draw for the $500
first prize. We are
doing the drawing
for the $500 prize. Who should we have draw that?
Kathy Skivers?
Let's have Kathy Skivers draw that.
I think we should have had Kathy draw for the iPad.
Oh, I know. Oh, Frank. You have a mischievous twin.
That was my evil twin. He's gone now.
I like him. What's his name?
What's his name?
I can't tell you. He's in the witness protection program.
And the winner is Diane Phelps. Woo!
Congratulations, Diane. Well, I believe that concludes the proceedings at this evening's banquet. Thank you all for attending. It's been delightful. Thank you for not throwing vegetables in my direction. The dry cleaning bill can wait a little longer. Everybody have a good evening. Do remember that the worship service tomorrow is at 7:30 and the general session begins at... Oh, excuse me. Worship service is at 8 o'clock and the general session is at 9? 8:30. 8 o'clock and 8:30. Peter has an announcement.
I'd like to encourage everyone to attend the hospitality suite. And for a special surprise, we're having coffee being served. Coffee's available in the business meeting tomorrow beginning at 8:30.